born very unusual. He was very young. He was born in October 1897, right?
Mm.
Now, he was appointed OC of the West Limerick Brigade, I think in 1917, maybe 1918.
So
he's only 20 or 21 years of age.
An amazing amount of responsibility for someone so young.
Yes, but it also reflects that I think that some people that should have stepped forward didn't. Now, there was a very able man in Thomas Fuller, Moss Hafner. But the problem with Moss Hafner is, living in Thomas Fuller, he's out of the, he's on the periphery of the West Limerick Brigade.
Sure.
Now, as I said, it's much easier for a person in Newcastle West or Rathkeen, the more central.
Okay.
Anyhow, Sean Finn came from a family of bakers, right? His father was John Finn, and his mother was Annie Histon. Now, Histon is an unusual surname. I think you'd only find it in West Limerick.
I was just going to say, you said it's unusual, but it's kind of a local name, you know? It's not too unusual for these parts.
Well, it's not unusual, it's not. But as I said, I don't think you'd find it outside of West Limerick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the family were reasonably well off. They had a bakery and grocery business in Main Street, Rathkeen. Now, coming from that background, it's kind of unusual that a fellow would become involved in nationalist politics or in a volunteer movement. No, comfortable, they were comfortable business people.
Yes.
An awful lot of people from that background wouldn't have got involved, but he did. And at a very early age, he showed leadership abilities. As I say, he, at about 20 years of age, he was appointed OC of the West Limerick Brigade. Now, it was, dare I say, it was a single recognition for a man that young.
Absolutely. And as you say, you know, possibly because nobody more experienced stepped up, but also possibly, undoubtedly, because he was well respected and well thought of.
Well, he was very well respected and very well thought of. But at the same time, it's a lot easier for an older man to have control of fellows rather than a 20-year-old.
Absolutely. Sure, many of the people that he was, let's say, commanding would be older than him.
A lot older than him.
Yeah.
Many of them, virtually all of them. Now, anyhow, the first time he came, there I said, to notice, right, was at the time of the Waterford by-election, where Sinn Féin, now, I better qualify something, an awful lot of the elections were uncontested, but the Waterford constituency was held by the National Party all the time. The Redmonds were extremely powerful and popular.
Okay.
Sinn Féin decided to take him on in the by-election after the death of William Redmond. And they sent fellows from many parts of the country to help with, dare I say, the election. Sean Finn and Michael Keane from Fiona traveled to Waterford with about 40 men from West Limerick and other parts of Limerick. There was quite a lot of hostile reception for outsiders coming into Waterford City. And there was many, a spat.
Okay.
You know, the interesting one relates to Jim Scanlon from Galway. Now, Galway would be east of me, but they brought the one in Waterford. And Jim Scanlon got a pair of lovely black eyes. And when he came back to Galway after the election, his father said to him, "I see the pig buyers of Ballybricken took care of you, boy." Now, the area around Ballybricken in Waterford was north. It's like Limerick City with Mary Street.
Yes.
It was a noticeable number of pig buyers that lived there.
Okay.
And they were all healthy boys. And he found the house.
And they sent him home packing.
Well, they sent him home with a remembrance of Bally Brigand. Anyhow, that's, as I say, the first time that Sean Finn came to notice.
Yes.
The second time was the rescue of Sean Hogan at Knocklong, right?
Yes.
When Hogan was rescued, two of the men were seriously wounded, Dan Breen and Sean Tracy. Now, they were taken initially to Clancy's of Cush near Kilfinnan. Now, they stopped off somewhere else before that, but essentially they were taken to the Clancy's of Cush. But it was known then that was too close to Knocklong.
Okay.
So it was agreed that they should be taken back to Westlimit. And Paddy Clancy made contact with Sean Finn. And Sean Finn sent two cars to Cush to pick up the wounded men and also Seamus Robinson and Sean Hogan and take them back to Westlimit. Now, they were taken back to Ahawilk, to Keynes of Ahawilk.
Right.
Now, you talk about Seamus. Now, Seamus' mother was one of the Keynes of Ahawilk. And she remembered as a child looking after the wounded Tipperary men.
Oh, Sean Tracy and Dan Breen?
Dan Breen, that's right. That's yeah, right.
Yeah.
As I say, they were held around West Limerick for a while, but they had to move them on because if they stay in one place, the police will tumble to it eventually.
Of course.
And they will raid the place.
Well, so, it's hard to keep a secret, isn't it?
Well, you might say that. Anyhow, they were moved to Kerry, off to Kerry with them, and from there they headed back towards Tipperary eventually. Coming back to Sean Finn, as I say, he was continued to organise the West Limerick Brigade.
Yes.
But what was also significant was the fact that very powerful men in the IRA had great respect for him. This was proven with when Liam Lynch and Paddy Clancy and Sean Mylan arrested General Lucas while he was out fishing.
Oh, yes.
Near Famai in June 1920. Now, they arrested him. They held him for a night or two around Mallow. But the thing exploded in Famai. The soldiers in the garrison broke out of barracks looking for their general. So it was decided to move him out of West Limerick, or out of North Cork, right? And they made contact with Sean Finn.
Okay.
And he was moved from near Newmarket. Now, Sean Finn and a group of fellows from West Limerick, along with Thomas Malone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Picked up the general near Newmarket. And they drove him to Abbeyfield and they went to Temple Dantan. Right? And he was held at Sheehan's in Temple Dantan. Now, the The idea was that we're going to hold him and see him for quite some time.
Okay.
But that night, there was a mission in Abbey Field, and what's his name? David Nelligan, right?
Yes.
David Nelligan's brother, Morris Nelligan, and his sister were going from Temple Blantyre to Abbey Field to the mission. And they crashed at Goulburn Bridge, and Nelligan was killed. His sister was badly hurt. Now, that was quite close to where the general had been held in Sheehan's.
Okay.
So they decided they had to move him out of the area because they're basically crawling with police.
Of course.
And they moved him first to Father McCaffrey's house in Ballyhall. And then John Finn spoke to doors of Jeremy of Arda, and doors allowed the general to be held in the house for a couple of days. Sean Finn had very good connection with Michael Brennan in East Clare.
Okay.
And he knew that. He knew after a couple of days that the general was going to be a pain in the neck. Right? He was going to tie up all his men. Right?
Yes.
So he convinced Michael Brennan to take the general for a while.
So he tried to pass the potato along.
He passed the potato along, exactly. Now, he took General Lucas across the Shannon at Ringmylan. Now, the two men taking him across were Tommy Wallace and Ned Enright.
Okay.
There was a couple of others. But those two men were taking him over to their cousins. Now, there's a thing that you wouldn't see today. The communities on both sides of the Shannon were very closely linked. Now, the two boys, their mothers were Hogans from Fatso, and they were taking them across to their cousins. And eventually, Lucas escaped. He was held for about 6 weeks altogether, but he escaped from East Limerick. A couple of things about Lucas was, he actually discovered he was a gentleman. You know, they got to like him.
Yeah, and well, I suppose they spent a lot of time with him, so it was inevitable that they'd find a way of getting along.
But he was actually a gentleman.
Mm.
Because when he escaped, right, he didn't badmouth them. What he said was, he was interviewed by one of the tabloid journalists in England about his time in captivity.
Yes.
And he said, I was held as a gentleman, by gentlemen, end of interview. Now, as I said, it was a measure, you know.
Sure, it was very honourable of him, like to just leave it at that.
Yes, as I say, he could have just badmouthed them and you know, cleared up for the gallery, but he
sure.
didn't. Proved himself an honourable gentleman. Now, I do believe that the IRA did a pact with him. They didn't. He was a nuisance to them, right? Holding him. Because the original reason he was held, you know, to force the release of Dick Fitzgerald in Fermoy.
Yes.
Fitzgerald had actually died after hunger strike.
So they didn't. So they effectively didn't need Lucas after all.
They effectively didn't need him.
Okay.
No. And the irony is, they got a lot more positive publicity out of releasing him. No, the world is seen he escaped, But I don't believe he escaped. I believe he was let go.
Yes.
And definitely his behaviour afterwards was very positive towards the IRA. Now, his bosses weren't overly happy with it. But you see, because he escaped, he's a hero. And you can't do a hero.
There you go. It was the best possible outcome for everybody.
It was, actually.
Yeah. So I suppose coming back to Sean Finn, and of course the centenary of his death falls this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. Now, Sean Finn, as I say, was very active right through 1919, 1920, right into 1921.
Yes.
Now, he worked very closely with the other East Limerick Brigades, particularly the East Limerick Brigade. Now, Donica Hannigan was the OC of the East Limerick Flying Column. And Donica Hannigan was a lot older than Sean Finn, but he had the highest of respect for him. Now, in early March 1921,
mm-hmm.
O'Hannigan brought his flying column into West Limerick. And there were visitors around Etty, Kerry, Blank, that side, you know, Ballyhale.
Okay.
And it was while the East Limerick men were in that area, it would appear that the British military had wind of it. And certainly there were raiding parties. Raiding around Ballyhale, back into Mate, you know, from Rathkeel. And in the course of that, a group of IRA men had a fighting, they had an incident with the British military and police.
Sure. With a skirmish, I suppose.
A skirmish, you call it, yeah. Now, the problems that the IRA had, there was a lot of them there, but they were scattered over a very wide area.
Mm-hmm.
So they were never, they didn't find it that easy to gather a big group of them.
Sure.
Now, there's only about seven fellas involved in the incident that day. I think the 31st of March. And they were staying in different houses there near Barry Row, right?
Okay.
And Donegal Hannigan, Sean Finn, and about six other IRA were in kind of intermittent action with a group of RIC. Now, I don't know if the military were there, but definitely the RIC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the RIC were under a man called Derek Ibston. He was an inspector based in Adair. So it would seem to indicate that the RIC, at least some, were coming from Adair.
Okay.
Now, Ibston was a man in the William Street barracks the night that two mayors were shot in Limerick. And no one would convince me he wasn't party to the murder of the two mayors. Even though he wasn't directly involved in the people that shot them, he was certainly party to what happened.
Sure.
Anyhow, the group that was with Finn,
mm-hmm.
Hannigan included a number of men from East Limerick, and they were surrounded in a small field.
Okay.
And there was just intermittent shooting going on. And the next thing, anyhow, whatever way, Sean Finn was killed.
Yes. And that was the 31st of March, wasn't it?
That was the 31st of March. Yeah. 1921. Now, as I say, it was a serious loss to the IRA in West Limerick, because because the flying column, not alone was he the brigade commander, he was also the commander of the flying column. And when he was killed, I think Gareth McAuliffe was appointed 4C of the brigade.
Okay.
With Michael Colbert was appointed in charge of the flying column.
Okay, so it's significant that the two men got both roles, even though he had been doing both roles.
And consider now, he's much younger than either of them.
Than either of them, exactly. So he was a very, very, well, all losses are significant, of course, but his was a very significant loss at the time.
I don't think he's ever been fully appreciated.
Well, I thought, that's I suppose that's why we started these series of programmes by talking about Sean Finn and by commemorating his centenary, because, of course, you know, a lot of centenaries have gone past this last while that haven't been commemorated appropriately because of the virus.
Well, definitely is an issue that the virus has, but at the same time, I don't think Finn was ever fully appreciated. Because if you think about this, he's only 23 years of age.
That's it.
And he has the trust of some of the most senior men in the IRA in Ireland. Remember, Liam Lynch was over the group that captured General Lucas.
Lucas, yes.
Right? Now, they made contact with Sean Finn. Now, they didn't make contact with anyone in Kerry or Elspeth.
So they reached, Finn. Yeah. You so know. Who was the best man for the job? Sean Finn?
Yes. They made contact with him straight away.
Yes.
Now, that tells you something.
Something of the measure of the man and the fact that, that they looked at him for his leadership qualities rather than his age.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to remember the four people involved in the capture of General Lucas, right?
Yes.
There's only one Coxman, George Powell. Liam Lynch is from Anglesborough. Sean Moylan is from Kilmallock.
Mm-hmm.
And Paddy Clancy is from Kilfinnan, right?
Yes.
Now, when they had a problem, what to do with General Lucas, they had no hesitation in contacting Sean Finn.
There you go.
So as I say, that's a measure.
It's a measure of the man.
Yes.
Well, it's been great to talk to you about him today and to remember his centenary in some way. Of course, as we say, we can't have the sort of events that we would normally have had. But we hope in the future weeks to talk some more about the War of Independence.
Thank you.